Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How's my favorite person?
How are you, Cindy? I am well.
I'm good, and I'm very excited about tonight's show. I think we have some interesting callers, and one of the girls is going to tell us a little bit about something about her relationship. We had spoken to her not too long ago, and she said something manifested, so I'd like to hear that. And then we have someone who was one of my clients for years, and I encouraged her because she was psychic herself to, you know, get a deck of tarot cards and start doing it. And so she does a lot of readings now, which I'm very proud of her. And she wanted to discuss twin flames, and we don't discuss the twin flame or twin souls very much on the show, and I always like to bring it up sometimes because people are very fascinated by it. And you know, she believes her twin flame is John Lennon, and I find that fascinating. And you know, me as a whole, I don't usually channel famous people, but I did channel Beethoven. I don't think Beethoven was my twin flame, but I do believe I knew him in a past life. So you know, because there was a point where I just began to realize too much seemed too familiar to me to have not have known this man somewhere else. And, and also it made a little more sense as to why he was picking me to write that play. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I never doubt it, but I mean, as a rule, I do not channel famous people, okay? So,
yeah, let's not do that.
So just to let you know with that. So also, NBC News had contacted some experts in their field to see 10 New Year's resolutions that had nothing to do with weight loss. It couldn't have anything to do with weight loss. We don't want to hear about that, okay? And and I think they're going to use me. They said they loved mine, and mine was that we need to vow to have healthier and happier relationships in the year 2018.
Wonderful.
And how can we do that? And, you know, I gave some of the buzz things that we always say here, like say what you mean what you say, don't be mean about it. Let's deal with righteous anger in this, you know, partisan political climate. How about we just, you know, try to agree to disagree and address facts and not attack people. And, you know, I thought that was something that we really need right now because, I don't know, a lot of my clients have been having a hard time with these family get-togethers, you know, and who's about ready to throw a punch at who over different things. So, you know, I always know that family members sometimes have a lot of trouble interacting with each other because it's always like a loaded grenade. You know, if you just say like, oh, can you put the dishes in the sink? Suddenly somebody, you always tell me what to do. And all of a sudden it's like this war zone. And all you asked was to please put the dishes in the sink. So I think we're going to all work at not throwing grenades at our family members this year, please. Because even if you're normally a very calm person with everybody, I find it's the family members that can push my crazy button still. And I have a feeling I'm going to have to walk this earth again because of it. And it's just really hard sometimes when it is family members to say what you mean what you say, and don't be mean about it, you know. It seems Yes, so
listen,
yes,
I grew
I'm
up in a very, very large family, so I completely understand that.
You know what I'm talking about. So I'm always like cursing these people out, saying, you know, I wouldn't have to walk the earth again if it weren't for you having been in my life. You realize that, you know, and, you know, I think we'll all work on it. And just be kinder, you know, parent to children, children to their parents, please, siblings to each other, especially when you're grown up now. You know, do you have to bring up all the rivalries from, like, 40 years ago? Can you just, like, you know, start over and, you know, be kind to each other? Because it really is
very
loaded.
You mean the rivalries from 40 years ago don't count anymore?
Nope. They don't. They don't. So we're
going
to work on
it. Wow.
Mm-mm. Nope, nope, nope. So let's see if we can, you know, do that. Because if we don't heal our family dynamics, by the way, it will reflect on every other relationship you have. And when people marry young, like my generation did, we tended to fight with our husbands or wives like we were fighting with our siblings, because we only married in our early 20s. So we were still fighting dirty like that. It was amazing. And it'll
so
color your
work with my wife.
I know. And it will color, because you married a little bit older, my darling. Okay.
Yes.
Which was,
I never
which
fight
was,
with my wife. I'm so happy about that.
Right, because, you know, you already got that out with your other lovers and all of that. You know, we learned something. But if, you know, if you were very rivalrous of your sisters, sometimes I find women who have had sisters have a lot of jealousy issues with other women. Because, you know, it's hard when you have, I only had brothers, but you have sisters, you know, who's prettier, who's this. You know, they're always comparing who's thinner, who's fat. So women tend to sometimes bring that dynamic into the work world and their other relationships with women. So really heal your relationship with your brothers and sisters if you can. It doesn't mean reconciling with some of them if they've been giving you hell all your life, but just, you know, forgive the person but not their actions. So we're going to try 2018 to make peace in our hearts and in our homes, because how are we going to have it in the world if we can't even make peace in our own households?
Exactly.
So remember, if you're a person that, you know, when someone asks you a question in your family and you start throwing grenades at them, please, you know, if they ask you to please put the dishes in the sink, that's all they asked you. We're always bossing me around. You know, take it back a couple of notches, because it's really, I'm amazed how fast families can escalate. And it really makes, people uncomfortable to be near these families. You know, if you're the sort of one that's been invited to a family get together, but it's not your family, boy, it's difficult watching it. So, so that's what we're striving for in 2018. So before we get to the twin flame, we're going to go over to the 646-5493. And if anyone wants to speak to us, please press 1. We have a lot of callers, and I think people seem to know to press 1. I don't know how, but they to press 1 tonight.
Who knows? Maybe Blog Talk put it back and didn't tell anybody.
I don't know. So all I know is I can't get through the ads to log on the show anymore. So we're getting some really good big car dealership, you know, cars, sedans, what we can buy. Boy, they really like our show. We're getting some big advertisers here. So,
jeez, awesome.
Jeez, it's more popular, huh? I like the Victoria's Secret one, though. That was the one where they, you know, they had the half-nude girls walking on my big screen here. But we haven't had Victoria's Secret for a while.
One.
I know. It wasn't meant for me. I think it was meant for you, darling, but I got it.
I've been gypped. The hell?
You have been. Well, if I ever see it again, I'll be certainly sure to let you know to log on at that moment. So well, let's go over to the 5493. Are you going to pick it up for me? Okay, perfect.
Yes, I am. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hello, and who are we speaking to? I know, but my listeners don't.
It's Claudia.
Hi, Claudia. Now, you have been going through a lot with your relationship, correct?
There's a soulmate. I've told you about him before. Who comes and goes into the picture. What I wanted to say about that was, like, I had, like, the talk with him, you know, about, like, commitment and whatnot. And you had told me to do that before.
Right.
You know, basically what he said was, like, he wasn't really ready to give more of himself. But even though that's disappointing, I kind of feel like there's, like, some closure to it. Like, I did my part, you know what I mean? And, you know, like, the ball is
all right.
Now,
you're not going to, you know, you realize, that, you know, when a man says he doesn't want commitment, he mm-hmm. means it, okay?
Right.
And
you're
not going to try to sell him something he doesn't want, please?
No.
Because,
no.
And, you know, did you give him the all or nothing speech that, you know, like, if you can't commit to me, then I can't do it anymore?
Yeah.
And are you sticking with this? Because I know you're like a pushover, okay?
Yes, I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
I am sticking with it.
Because how long have you been on and off with him now?
It's been like 3 years now.
Okay. And that's too long for this, don't you think?
Yes.
And you're a good catch, by the way. People listening should know Claudia is a really good catch. And that, you know, he's been sort of coming and going for 3 years. But this is something that women are going to have to put their foot down with, because if we don't start doing it as a collective group, men are going to continue to come and go as they please. So what I'm seeing for you is you're not responsible for the ending of this relationship. His inability to commit is. And I see him coming and going. Like, he's going to keep trying to contact you. He's not going to give up. I don't blame him. You're a good catch. He's not that stupid. But he isn't going to want to commit. It's possible the universe will give him a month to see what he does in this month or two, that you do not have contact with him. If he texts you, what are you going to say or do? Do you have a plan here?
I think I'm just going to be like, maybe, hey, what do you want? But, you know.
I would say, what's your intention? Ask him, what is your intention in contacting me? Is it to have a real relationship and commit? If not, please do not contact me. Okay? And then if he does it again, you know, a month later, a little text, you can say, if you really have something to say to me, it should be said in person or on a telephone call, not a text. You know, don't let them get away with, you know, it's called crumbing when they just, like, the commitment folks, they come and go, and then they send us a little text that there was a crumb. That's ridiculous.
Right.
And what I'm seeing, though, for you, because you're closing the door on this, they will, though, give him anywhere between 1 and 3 months registering what his thoughts are. If he's really missing you and he's starting to think, man, I'm going to lose her and I really need to commit to her, the universe will be a little patient before they bring another soulmate to you. But you're getting a soulmate brought into alignment with you for 2018. So he's the one who's going to lose out, not you.
Right.
And so stand a little firm on this. Also, are you thinking of getting another job?
Well, I'm going back to school very soon for social work. Like, I'm switching fields completely. And I am looking. I'm trying to get into another school, something closer to home. I hope that's something that'll happen in the next year.
No, that looks good. So you have, like, career-wise really good coming up in 2018. You have a soulmate coming. You're going to do our soulmate prayer, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and pray to be the same. If it's this man, so be it. I'm not believing it's going to be him at this point, okay? And I just can't see you wasting any more time. You have children, correct?
Yeah.
And your children do need to see a better version of love than what they've been shown, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
So for their sake, the universe isn't going to wait 10 years for asshole to step up to the plate. Because, so, you know, if you didn't have children, the universe might even be a tiny bit more patient with him, but not too much, because then you might want to have children. So how long can you wait? But, you know, figure out that if he doesn't step up the plate, we're in January, February, March, April. By April, they'll bring another soulmate. They'll bring one even before that if his thoughts are registering, I can't commit, I'm scared. So be firm on it. You did the right thing, although I know it feels sad. And, you know, somehow women believe any man is better than no man, but you have to overcome that because, you know, where is this going to go? And how old are you now?
38.
Okay. Now, could you picture if you didn't have children, a man like this here? The men are depriving women of motherhood. That's what's really concerning me now. They just don't step up to the plate to women. So a lot of you're blessed. You have your children. But could you imagine what it is for women who are 38 and they have these guys for 3 years? I don't know if they can commit.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing
have,
way too many. You have friends like
friends
that, right?
In that situation. I have some friends in that situation, yeah.
And it's scary because, you know, I've been doing this 24 years, and I'm now seeing clients that have for 20 years been waiting for a guy to commit, now they're 45, and they're out of their minds because they're not going to have babies now. They're not going to be a mother. And and we have nobody to blame but ourselves, women. If, you know, if they're not stepping up to the plate, men, and you want commitment, then demand it sooner than later. And, you know, what I want you to do is call in if he contacts you, or but you know you have to not give in. You're gonna have to go a little bit cold turkey. You're gonna feel like you want to call him and speak to him, but I want you to love yourself the way you love your children. Is this what you would want your children to be treated like this?
No.
And you need to really show them a man who's committed to you, who treats you with respect, who works hard, who's a man, not a boy.
Right.
It's a generation of boy men. They are just boys. They grow up already. How old are they going to be before they're ready to commit? It's absurd. And the longer that, you know, you stay in this world of, I mean, you're 38, but you have kids, so you've grown up a lot. And you've had to grow up. But, you know, women, you know, this man needs a little bit of growing up. I'm very proud of you, though. I mean, I think we had advised you this like 2 years ago already, if you remember.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think that time he, like, ran and I couldn't really have that conversation with him or whatever. This time I was able to, this time around, I just told him what I had to say. And, he still says he's not ready or whatever.
Okay, but when is he's 38, you said, or 37?
I'm 38. He's a little younger than I am. He's like
how
36.
Old is he? Okay, he's 36 years old. What is he going to be ready? What is he, 12?
Yeah.
I mean, there's something wrong with your generation. They have no concept of how old they are.
Yeah.
You know, 36 is not a child. By the time my generation was 36, we had teenagers. You know, we were mothers and fathers a long time. And I'm not saying that was right. We married too young for the most part. But you meet a soulmate and you're 36 years old. I mean, he should have dated enough people to know that you're gold. You are wonderful. And if he's too stupid to recognize that, what a shame, because he won't be offered another soulmate anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll start getting the level of love he deserves, which is a commitment phobic who can't commit to him. He'll get to feel what that feels like. It's not pleasant. So you've done the right thing. You know, don't give in when he calls, you know, because you don't want to be his booty call. You know, you don't need a booty call, and you don't need a friend with benefits. At this point, you need a lasting and good relationship, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
I have one last question.
Sure.
I was just wondering if there's anyone that's, like, trying to communicate with me, because I keep seeing the number 1111. And
okay, now 1111 is the number of angels.
Uh-huh.
It's not, and angels were never human, by the way. Angels are a spiritual army sent to protect us. What it's telling you is that you're being very divinely guided by angels right now. And they're watching over you and protecting you. And if you keep seeing 1111, that's also a very good sign. And when did you start seeing this 1111?
Like over a almost a month ago now.
Okay, near the holidays. You've been seeing it since, the Thanksgiving-ish?
Around there, yeah. And then, my aunt died after that, so I thought maybe it had some connection with that, but...
You know, it's very, very possible it does, because she could be bringing the angelic realm closer to you. And also know that with your aunt, it's her job to help bring a soulmate in alignment with you. Because when someone we love dies, they can grant us someone else to love. And she will bring that to you. So you are very guided right now. So don't be discouraged. And also your aunt's death was a wake-up call for you. It was a wake-up call. We're not going to be here forever. How long are we going to wait for people to step up to the plate? So that probably helped you have the courage to do what you needed to do.
Yeah, it was very sudden, her death. Like, it was very tragic. So
you can understand that wakes us up. She's very recently dead, so, you know, she's learning how to communicate. She'll be a better communicator. It does take time to learn because it's like learning a foreign language. But, you know, she will guide you and help you. And, you know, just know it woke you up. You know, do you want to, if you were to die tomorrow, and you're not going to, but if you were, wouldn't you have felt like, I would have wanted to have a great love in my life? I would have wanted to feel that and experience that. The dead don't regret loving. They regret what they would have, could have, should have done better, by the way.
Right.
So we're having none of that for you.
Right.
Well, good luck to you. We're going to try to get a few other callers tonight. And thank you so much for calling in, Claudia. I always enjoyed talking to you.
All right, Cindy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, now we're going to get to Lena about the twin flame, but I want to go to the one I thought this was the 0062 number. Nicole, do you see that? Okay, I'm just going to hit it. Hello, Cindy, you're live on the air.
Hi, Cindy, it's Alexa.
Hi, Alexa. Okay, so Alexa's been calling in. She had a soulmate, and he wasn't, you know, he was kind of bad news. Are we in agreement with that? He's a little bad news.
Yeah.
And because of his bad news, and Alexa has wonderful parents, and they sort of were almost disowning you when you went to live with him, and then you ended up leaving him. And this is going on in the last few months. So why don't you fill in our listeners what else we need to know so I can help guide you in the way you need to be guided.
So I had left him the beginning of November, and I haven't seen him since. But I was just informed, I had a friend who called me who was working at a restaurant on Christmas, and he happened to go in there with another girl that he must be dating, supposedly that's what she found out, and they were on a double date, and sure enough, he's back to drinking, which was one of his big addictions and problems that I have helped him give up. I was going to therapy with him, church, everything. So he had given it up for a very long time, and now that we're not together, he's back to that. He's also back to smoking cigarettes, which is something that he gave up while we were together as well for over a year. And then I'm assuming that any of his other addictions that he's had since he's gone back to that, I'm sure that he has gone back to that too. And so what I have found out is that he had gotten into a fight with the other couple that was there and started a huge uproar. And they had to ask him to leave the restaurant on Christmas. It was a whole big fight, which is typical him because he has such anger that he fights with so many people for no reason. And
wasn't that part of the reason that your parents didn't like him because of his behaviors? And if you remember in your reading, we had talked about that he's going to go back to his addictions. He was on his good behavior for you, but that wasn't going to last. And that's called a waking dream for you, by the way, which the universe showed you something that if you were still with him, you would have been the one in the restaurant with the scene being made in front of you. And to show you, breaking up with him was the right thing to do. I mean, I had a similar experience with someone who was a very big commitment phobic when I was in college, and this was like 40 years ago. He's way ahead of his time because he would do the ghosting, disappearing act and reappear, and it would drive me crazy. And, you know, I ran into someone that I knew in college who was his best friend when I was pregnant with my daughter a few years after I had broken up with him, like 5 years after. And the guy said to me, you know, you really broke his heart. And I said, did he ever tell you what he did to me, the way he would disappear for a month on end? I wouldn't know if he was dead or alive and come back. And he looked at me stunned. He goes, no, he didn't tell me that, but I went to dinner with his new girlfriend and him last month, and she was crying hysterically because he was doing that to her.
Mm.
So I said, that was a waking dream to show me I would still be going through that with him five years later. So the universe sometimes gives us a piece of information to validate this person wasn't going to change,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, he would keep hurting you. And
right.
I hope you're feeling a little more at peace about your decision.
Well,
are you?
The thing. I'm not. And that's why I'm upset with myself, because I thought that it would make me more disgusted and more angry. But I guess the goodness in me feels like I worked so hard to get him to such a good place. And now I just feel like, how could he do that? Like, to himself, like, forget about what we had. How could, you know, he made a promise to himself and we got so far. And like, I think that's what hurts me. And then the fact that, like, now that he's out with somebody else, and like, I just feel like I'm in murky water because I don't know where my life's going. So whether this girl's his soulmate or not, I don't know what she is. I found out
he would not be granted a soulmate, first of all.
Yeah.
Because his behaviors were responsible for the ending of your relationship. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you, even if you're the one who broke up with him, it's his actions that made you have to do that.
Right.
He blew that soulmate relationship. He will not be granted another one. He replaced you so quickly, which is usually the narcissistic rung on the ladder of love. Like, let me mm-hmm. find a new one on Tinder and it's going to last a few months. But, you know, sometimes it could last forever, only because if they're both screwed up, you'd be surprised how long
right.
that crazy glue can keep two people together. But no, he wasn't granted a soulmate. If it were a soulmate, he wouldn't be self-destructing the way he is, by the way.
Right.
You know, he's drinking. What I also had, you know, tried to point out to you is, you know, we can't fix people. He's a pretty narcissistic guy. He's not accountable for his behaviors combined with addictions. You know, the prognosis of him changing the better is really poor. And, you know, he was being better with you in many ways, but you know, he was going to fall off the wagon sooner or later with you. So
yeah.
It's kind of better off he did it when you're not around. But you're happy.
Do you think he knows it?
Do
you think he knows he messed up?
Oh, yes, he does. And,
okay.
You know, you're the love of his life, and you're the soulmate. Again, he won't be granted another one. So you can't casually date right now, can you? You don't want to just date and, you know, let me go on Bumble and find some guy that looks a little like him.
Right.
That's absurd, okay? And it's really, you know, disrespectful to the soulmate relationship you had. You would only want another soulmate, and that takes time for God to bring another soulmate into alignment with you. You also need to mourn for the end of this relationship, which he is not mourned for the end of it. He's just distracting. He's distracting with his, you know, it's always nice to pretend you're falling in love. That's a nice distraction. Drugs, alcohol, cigarettes. He's just distracting. He's not feeling the pain. The problem with you is you don't have those addictive distractions,
yeah,
and you're
it.
Feeling the agony.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wondering why he's not. Well, he's distracting. You know, older souls of your magnitude don't distract with drugs and alcohol. They feel the pain. And I would advise you to feel the pain, mourn for it. It's how we become less neurotic as we grow up. If we do the real suffering of life, you don't become a neurotic who gets bent out of shape because, you know, they bring out the wrong dish at a restaurant. You know, you'll be like, okay, it's fine, I'll eat it, it's great. You don't worry about the small stuff. You don't sweat the small stuff. And you'll also appreciate more when you're brought a soulmate. If you remember, we had talked about in your reading that he was your husband in your past life, and you agreed to meet him in this one, and God pretty much laughed at you because, you know, you thought you were going to fix him, and pretty much God says, we don't know how to fix him in, like, 8 more lifetimes, knock yourself out, but you're not marrying him, and you're not having babies with him.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't keep sticking around and watching him self-destruct. It's really painful, and part of the soulmate contract is, if I can't help you evolve and grow, I can't be a great enabler and a crap taker. I have to step out of this picture and let you learn the hard way, through drugs, through alcohol, through having his heart broken, through breaking other people's hearts. And it's painful, but you're young yet. Learn you can't fix people.
Mm-hmm.
They have to fix themselves.
Do you see himself getting himself in trouble?
I see his potential to get a DUI here because when he's drinking, he doesn't really, you know, he'll get in a car. And that's not good. And, you know, better he gets a DUI than kills a carload of people. Okay, so, you know, things like that, getting in a car under the influence shows a gross disregard for human life. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's like, if you know you can't control yourself when you're drinking, make sure you have a designated sober person with you. But that girl's not going to be the designated sober because she drinks too. So
yeah, and smokes.
She's another him. So how are they going to keep each other in line? They're just going to enable each other to drink too much and do what they want. So I'm not seeing anything good here for him, and I know we don't ever want to wish bad things on people at all, but in the laws of karma, this guy's life is a mess. You know, you'll be granted another soulmate.
Do you see him trying to reach out?
It looks like he doesn't want to reach out to you because he doesn't want to evolve and grow now. He's making a decision. He wants to get stoned. He wants to be the lower self.
Uh-huh.
Like, addictions are very hard to sometimes overcome. And if you're with another person who allows you to have your addictions, right now he wants his addictions. So, you know, he may contact you when he's been drinking or drunk or something. And, you know, just know no matter what, he isn't going to change, this guy.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
And, you know, I know your parents were so upset when you went with him. And, of course, they had to give you a chance. But they had to give you a chance to see what was there.
Yep.
And but again, if you were my daughter, I probably would have been angry with you too to watch you go down that path. It's hard. You know how you feel about him? Like, it hurts for you to see him abusing his body. Could you imagine what it feels like for a mother to watch their daughter getting in a situation that's so toxic?
Yeah.
It's unbearable. So I think you have a little bit of lesson here how your parents probably felt about you. No one wants to see people self-destruct, and particularly if we love them. But whether you're with him or not with him, he's going to go down that path. And I think the universe would hit him a lot harder if you were staying with him. If you thought you were going to walk down the aisle with him, I'm sure the universe would get him arrested for a DUI or something. They weren't going to let you do that.
Uh-uh.
I mean, consider yourself very divinely protected.
Yeah.
And, of course, it doesn't feel good. It's the holidays. It's New Year's. You don't want to be alone now because days come. It's like the worst time. It's the worst time to talk to dead people, too, because they're really very melancholic. Like, your grandma's missing your family. She's missing everybody. It's really it's really a hard time to talk to the dead. But realize, you know, a year from now, when you're with your soulmate who's good and kind and doesn't have all this ups and downs and drama and trauma, you'll be so happy.
I'll be thankful. I know.
You'll be thankful.
Is he coming soon?
Yes, I do. But again, you have to stand a little bit on your own 2 feet without a man.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of courage to do that. But the husband card's coming. You know, that's what I saw. And soulmate card. I kind of see him maybe resurfacing in the next month or two. Just be careful. Mm-hmm. Don't get roped into his drama.
Oh, Tony?
Don't take, you know, I'm going to rescue you part of it on.
Okay. You see
because,
that?
Yeah. And
like him coming to me?
Yeah, well, contacting you, and, you know, he might be very stoned when he does it or drunk, so, you know, I'm not saying he's not telling the truth when he's drunk, but, you know, do you want a man you're going to have to worry about drinking him? If you have babies with him, you know, you have a good chance of having a child who's going to be born with a history of addiction genetically, and you also have a good chance of this your child being driven under the influence by this man, so... You know, these are things when you're young, like, you don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I wish I had thought about some of this stuff when I was young. Okay, so I'm only trying to point out to people, if we think we're going to fix people, no, they're going to fix our wagon and make our life hell is what's going to happen. And, you know, I know you're feeling sad and it's a hard time, but let yourself feel sad.
Yeah,
and you don't have to stop loving him because that's a waste of energy.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to love him like he died, with your heart, soul, mind. You just can't put your body with him. So And it wasn't all a waste. You learned a lot. And in the beginning, it was soulmate, and don't negate that. When it was good, it was good. But it is sad. It's a very sad time to not be with someone you love.
Yeah, but I'll and be you, fine.
You're going to be better.
I swallow it, and it scared me for the first time to hear it. Like, all the things that I knew, like, I heard in reality, you know, to have a friend witness it. So it's just kind of like swallowing it. And once I get past that, I'll be fine.
But remember, you were told this because you were what older souls do is they tend to forget very short memories for abuse. And they forgive too easily and often. And we forget what the person's really like. And during a time when Christmas and New Year's, when you get melancholic, you start only remembering the good things. The universe made sure. It's called smearing your face in shit. You swore, this is what my holiday would have been like with him.
Right.
Him drinking too much and making a scene and causing family problems and problems with everybody and getting us thrown out of everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not pleasant to
be
with a person like that because you end up having no friends. Nobody invites you anywhere.
Yeah.
Nobody wants you in
and
their
even
home.
The guy
nobody...
said, the poor guy who he was yelling at said to, like, the bartender, like, I don't even know what I did. Like, I'm so confused, but that's so typical. Nobody knows where it comes from.
Right, well,
it's
that's
the first
because
time the guy met him.
Well, that's because he has a lot of anger issues, and it they just welled up.
Yeah.
Well, do me a favor and certainly call in again and tell us how you're feeling. And I think you're important. I took your call tonight because I think it's very important because you're not the only person in this boat right now.
Uh-huh.
And they need to know. Like, you'll see five years from now when you're married and you have a baby and it's so your life is peaceful without the drama and trauma. You're going to be like, oh, thank God that I didn't take that path. You know, and it's sad to say, but, you know, you just don't want to have a lifetime where you just can't trust him to watch your kids or anything else.
Right.
You know, and, you know, this is a culture right now where people are really abusing drugs and alcohol so much. It's really horrible. There seems to be no limit. They don't understand there's limits to things. And, you know, it's a very binge alcohol.
They do it to numb the pain, too. And that's
they do
it to, like what he does.
And it only makes it worse, by the way. It never makes it better. Well, good luck to you, and wishing you a very happy new year.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so now we're going to try to get Lena. I can't get her on my computer. Nicole, are you there? Because I can't scroll down. I can't scroll down here.
All right, I will
get
Lena. I can scroll down, so no worries.
Okay, because I can scroll down on my Mac.
All right, so now just for our listeners. What's that?
I can't scroll down on my HP, and I don't have my Mac up, so go ahead.
Okay, no worries at all. So I will scroll down, and just so our listeners know, we are going to speak to Lena next, and Lena is joining us from New York, and she, as we said at the top of the show today, wants to talk about twin flames today. So here we go with Lena. Hello, Lena, you're on the air.
Hi there, Cindy. Hi, Nicole. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing great, and I loved your little Facebook commercial you made about our show and how you'd be on it. I got the biggest kick out of that. Okay.
Well,
I got
you're the greatest, and you did so much for me in just from the time of our initial connection so many years back now.
Well, remember, I kept saying you're very psychic. You should be doing this yourself, and I'm so glad you do it.
It was the very first thing you said to me, and. And it really reaped my life in every way. I didn't know anything about twin flames at that time. The person who told me about twin flames was actually my twin flame, John Lennon. I'll be very brief about my background. I'm a singer-songwriter here in New York City. I, of course, didn't reach the fame level that Johnny Lennon did, but my whole life, I was hearing from people whenever I got a review for any of my albums or anything, God, you sing just like John Lennon. You sound exactly like him, which was a strange thing. And when people would hear my records, they thought it was a man or a boy singing. They didn't realize it was a girl until they saw the picture,
wow.
Which was very strange. Now, if you look at pictures of me and Johnny, We look alike. The only difference in our features is our nose. His is pointed, and mine seems to be a little bit flatter and like more like a pug. And that is the only difference. We have the same exact eye colors. We have the same teeth. We have the same cheekbones. We have the same physicality. We have the same birthmarks. We have the same hands. Our vein configurations are the same. Everything is the same. Now, when this happened to me, and it was when I started doing the tarot cards, and he started coming through and helping me to do readings by playing in my head songs of his that would jive with the person's situation that I was doing a reading for. Like I would hear the song, I would hear the song Mother, or I would hear the song Cold Turkey, or I would hear the song I'm Happy Just to Dance with You. And it would fit whatever this person was having an issue with. And I was like, what in the hell is going on? I was like, you know, I'm hearing John Lennon songs, and they would say, oh my God, that was me and my husband's song, our wedding song, or oh my God. And I was like, all right, this is really crazy. Then John started coming through really clear and bringing with him people like Jimi Hendrix, Keith Moon, all kinds of people started coming into my readings. Now, I didn't know what was going on. I was married to my husband, Christopher, at the time, and I was also, while this was happening, I was suffering from caregiver burnout because he was fighting stage 4 cancer. When I met you, Cindy, I went to you because I needed some kind of advice because I was losing it because of my husband, I thought, was dying. And that's when you told me, take up the tarot, you're very psychic, you're going to be able to. And you also had some very profound messages for me from grandmothers and stuff like that. And I was like, yes, she's real. This is real. I had never been to a psychic before then, by the way.
I remember that. You were kind of a newbie to the whole thing. And this was probably 8 or 9 years ago, right? I mean, this is a while back.
Yes, that's right. Because I only hooked up with John like 3 years after my last reading with you. That came later. Now, John is telling me, and actually I could channel him right now, but I don't know how comfortable you are with this on your show or if you're thinking that it would be strange to have him come through.
No, it's fine. We like our show to be fascinating, interesting, and I would love to hear what he might have to say at this particular moment.
Well, this is John, and he has a very interesting point to make, and he never forgets anything, so I'm going to let him take it. Again, I'm a psychic medium, but I am also a channel. And
you're also a singer-songwriter, which people who are writers like you and me, writers, we channel, okay?
Yes, That's exactly right. Okay, I'm going to let John take it, and here he comes. All right, hello, Cindy. This is indeed a pleasure. I wanted to bring, and hello, Nicole, it's wonderful to speak with you. I love lesbians. All right, stop it. Don't listen to him. Okay, he tries to shock. So here's what I want to say. First of all, in the very beginning of this program tonight, Cindy, you mentioned Beethoven and that you had a connection with Beethoven. Well, you are absolutely right. But there's a little bit of background to that, and it has to do with your spiritual blueprint, precisely. I'll preface this by saying that in one of my past incarnations, I was Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and Lena, in that incarnation, was my beloved cousin, Anna Maria, who I had a kissing cousin affair with. I was Wolfgang Mozart, the incredible composer, if I do say so myself. And Lena was my beautiful Anna Maria, who I had an illicit affair with outside of my other marriage. But let me tell you something about Beethoven. Beethoven is the reincarnated spirit of Beethoven is Paul McCartney. That is why two of the greatest composers of all time met up again in the 20th century to become a supergroup, Lennon and McCartney. But McCartney is Beethoven, and I am Mozart. And the reason why you felt you had a connection with Beethoven
was because you absolutely did. Beethoven, or rather Paulie McCartney, was my spiritual brother, also a rival in many ways professionally, but my spiritual brother, who loved me very, very much. And he knew that at some point down the line, your connection with my Lena was going to be pivotal in getting her to gravitate to her spiritual gifts, if you will.
Wow. And
is this ringing true for you? Because
I'm cracking up because I have the play Amadeus on my desk right now that I just took off the shelf earlier today. And I forgot I even had this play.
There are no coincidences, my love, and you know that by now. Now, when you first started counseling Lena, you were so kind to her. She was going through a very hard time, and she went and she met you at someone else's house for a party. But she was so impressed by your psychic gifts, Cindy, that she went and booked several parties throughout the following years with you hosting them, and all of her guests absolutely loved you, with the exception of one bunch who have literally turned on her like rabid dogs ever since she hooked up with me.
Oh.
Yes. Okay, so this is the phenomenon, Cindy, and this is Lynn coming back in. This is Lena. This group of girls, if you recall, I don't know if you recall, but they were kind of problematic at the last psychic party that we had because you had a little bit of bad news for some of them, and it was kind of, but you know what? It all came true, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, and who wants to be the bearer of bad news, by the way? It's like, we're just the messenger. Don't shoot me.
And not
Thank
only that, you.
You
delivered it. You delivered it very nicely because it was a lot worse than what you said. But anyway, you were... But listen, what happened, these people, these girls that were supposedly like my really good friends, they were very supportive when I started doing tarot readings and involving myself with more and more with psychic work and crystal healing and everything like that. And they were real supportive, and they would always come to me for free readings because they were my friends and blah, blah, blah. As soon as I told them, look, you know, you're not going to believe, I am hooked up with John Lennon. This is crazy, man. I mean, I can't believe how amazing this is. They all said that I belonged to a mental institution, and they stopped speaking to me. My best friends that I knew my whole life.
Wow, and it's so funny because I was going to ask you that, like, since, you know, you're on my show, I was going to say, you know, what I do for a living, psychic medium, there's plenty of people who think I'm out of my mind, you know, and I belong in a mental hospital,
sure,
and people think you're crazy.
So,
remember, I've been doing this 24 years, and in the beginning of doing it, I didn't even tell people what I did unless I was doing a party. I didn't even mention it because I would get so much, like, you know, you're a phony or you're a crook or you're crazy, that I didn't say it. So I was going to ask you, you know, how did your friends or family respond to this? And you answered the question that
I only told people that I really trusted in and who I thought would be like amazed as I was and they could dig it. And I also told people who I really thought could dig it because they all seemed to fucking believe in my gifts up until that point.
Right. And
then suddenly when John Lennon was in the picture, it was like, no, this can't be. And I even said to them, you know, you guys got to look at, take a look. Oh, and here's the other bit of information that's a whack job thing. You know, me and John knew each other in this life very briefly. There's a 22-year age gap, and my father did some construction work for John in the Dakota.
Oh, really?
So John, I knew John, and I was 18 when he was shot to death. And I suffered horribly because he was very supportive and telling me that I was gifted and that he would see if he could help me with my career. I kept it very on the down low because this was John Lennon and this was such a special thing to me. And I really was in awe that I was involved with him. But now John tells me, well, I'll let him tell it. I knew at the time, because I was very psychic and always have been very psychic, the woman I was married to, Yoko Ono, We had 7 tarot card readers working for us at one time, 2 of them living on the premises that we would go to and confer with all hours of the day and night. We were very, very psychic. I knew exactly who Lena was, and I knew that me and her were a past incarnation together. But there was a 22-year age difference. I didn't want to come off as a lecherous old man, so I hired her father to work for me, and that was my in to try to get to know her a little better, and then I was killed.
Interesting. And so there was the meeting him in this lifetime.
There was an earthly connection, right.
And also, you know, I think your friends who know you're a talented and gifted musician might have been a little more supportive of the fact of why, you know, this might be your twin flame or could be your twin flame. Also with the twin flames, for those people who are listening, oftentimes we don't meet them in this incarnation, and if we do meet them, it's usually very tragic. It doesn't work out for some reason, and yet this alchemy of the two souls meeting helps the one soul who's left on Earth do their work, which is usually something for humanity, whether it's through
making music and also becoming, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, making
sure.
Music, absolutely. We have since recorded a couple of albums together since we've been reunited. The guy who worked was a producer friend of John's in this life, the guy who the engineer of our album, and he was well aware that he was working with John Lennon. He treated me reverently, and it was quite an experience to have a well-known recording engineer acknowledge the fact that, yes, that's right, I understand, and he would talk to John in the room through me, and it was quite an amazing experience. And this is, you know, and this is very validating for my friends know about this. No, they still want to say that I belong in a mental institution. You know, go figure. So,
well,
you know,
it's funny because, you know, that's why when you asked if you could come on the show, I thought, yeah, because, I mean, whether our listeners believe it or don't believe it, it's fascinating to hear. It's fascinating to understand that, you know, listen and don't judge people. And if someone, you know, you've trusted tells you something that seems a little off or weird, maybe listen. It's very hard when people have known, like, say, me, so, you know, not people who knew me very well because they accept me as a psychic, but people who knew me but didn't know me well, they, you know, and I wasn't psychic or doing this when I prior to the age of 40, will just not believe it or just think I'm nuts or something. You know what I mean? So I,
right.
All my life, I've always had jobs that are a little off. You know, I was a belly dancer, which people sometimes think is a stripper, which it isn't. I dance in Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, that's hardly a stripper. But the point, I've always done things where people could judge it and not think it's normal or weird.
Right.
So
it's off the beaten path, and you're not working like as a file clerk somewhere. And the other thing, because I know just the time constraint to bring up, is that the big problem a lot of my friends had was, well, what about your husband? You've been with Christopher, the guy, you know, who by now is in full remission from cancer. He's completely in remission. We were together 18 years when this thing hit the fan and Johnny came through. And I left Christopher. I had to. We still are roommates, but I'm in the process of moving out. Because we share a whole bunch of rescue animals, but we're roommates and best of friends. To the people out there who want to know what happened with me and my husband, Christopher, that I was married to for 18 years before John Lennon came on the scene, Christopher, it turns out, is the reincarnated spirit of Stuart Sutcliffe, who was John's first bass player in the Quarrymen before they became the Beatles. This makes perfect sense because Christopher was my bass player in this life. He was somebody that was sent down to here on Earth to take care of me and watch over me until John could come in and make contact with me again. And Christopher knows who he is. He understands this, and he is fine with it. I didn't leave my husband flat. We're still best of friends. We just don't have sex with each other anymore, and we're getting legally divorced soon. And he is in perfect harmony with everything that is happening. He is honored to be in the relationship with me and with John, and he is fine. So why are my friends all so worried about my poor husband, Christopher?
I remember your husband. He's a very nice man, by the way. I remember him.
He's a lovely man.
He's a lovely man. I remember him. Well, I think, you know, the reason I was fascinated to take this call is it's judgment, okay? If you know someone and, you know, they're changing in any way, okay, it doesn't mean, you know, what you're doing. If someone is changing and they're different than they used to be, stop judging it. Allow them to express it and be it, and, you know, and if you didn't think the person was crazy before this, don't put the crazy label. I mean, when I first started channeling, by the way, like, it was pretty funny. The dead are very funny, you know that. And I thought I was nuts for about a week, and I didn't say to anybody what was happening, but I really thought I had lost my mind.
When you first started channeling, was it like the form of hearing voices, or like how did it?
No, it would just be like a thought form, like it is now, but it'd be a situation that I would be observing someone or something, and then the thought that would come in would be so funny and helpful to me at the moment to see the situation clearly. Like I wasn't seeing it clearly, but they would say it in a funny way, and it was very helpful. And I'll give you, for instance, there was a coat that I really liked. It was kind of a vintagey type coat in a very expensive store, and it was way overpriced what I would buy for something, but it never got discounted in a period of 3 months, which was very unusual for this store, because they usually, if you waited long enough, and they only had a few things, if it went on sale, you could get it like half price or whatever. So one day I hear, I don't know what dead person it was, saying, "It's on sale right now, that coat. Go right now." And I wasn't dressed or anything, and I was like, they go, "No, you have to go right now." So I got dressed, went to the store, and I look, and it's still marked the, you know, this horrible price. And I'm like, "No, go to the register." So I went to the register, and I said, "This is supposed to be on sale." And the girl said, "No, it's not." I go, "Well, could you just check? And she started going through, and it should have been discounted like four different times. And it was almost down to like 80% off. So that's an example of them being helpful and funny.
You know what I'm hearing right now?
What are you hearing?
There's Jimi Hendrix giving you that tip. And you know what else he's telling me right now? I'll let him come right through. This is what I do.
I'm going to tell you right now, baby. What about that coat? Could you see me wearing that coat?
Oh, yeah. And also, I have to tell you, I saw Jimi Hendrix live, one of his last concerts. I was very young, like 18 years old, and I was supposed to be home by 1 o'clock at night from the concert at Randall Island, but he did not come on to play. Jimmy didn't come on till 7 o'clock in the morning, and I would have gotten killed from my father for coming home so late. I brought the Daily News, the morning edition, to show that he didn't come on till 7 o'clock, and my father just accepted that to be truth, and Jimmy died like 2 weeks later. So I find it interesting that you would bring up Jimi Hendrix.
Well, I'll tell you, this is Jimmy just talking right now at you, and I'm telling you that was me giving you the advice for the coat, and I did see you that night. I did notice you, and you was a pretty little girl, and I got one more thing to tell you, honey. Just about you right now and all your gifts and everything that you do to help people and humankind and everything else, but I got something to tell you on a personal level, and all it is very simple. Don't lose no more weight, baby. Come on.
Now, I find that funny because what I've been saying all day today is, I've got to lose 5 pounds. I must have said it 100
times. No, baby, don't you. He doesn't want you to lose any more weight.
Well, that's so funny because I keep thinking, if I just lose 5 pounds, I'll be really happy. And I said it a thousand times today.
He's shaking his head. No, don't do it. He's saying, no, don't do it.
Well, I just think this was fascinating. Nicole, we only have a minute left, but didn't you find this fascinating tonight? And especially since Nicole's wife is a drummer, by the way, and she's in a band herself.
That's great, Nicole. Awesome for that. Yeah.
So we enjoyed this very much, and you know, thank you so much for sharing, you know, your story with us. And you know, again, I'm, you know, for those listeners who might think, oh, maybe Lena's crazy, I said, I have to tell you, I knew Lena 8 years ago. She was far from crazy. She's one of the most fascinating people, talented musicians, who I knew she had a great psychic gift. And so that's why I put her on the show, because I said, very interesting. And I enjoyed this myself very much. It was very interesting to hear from those on the other side. And Nicole, did you find it interesting yourself?
Yes, it was very, very fascinating.
Yeah, me too. I got a kick out of it. You know, you ended our 2017 show with quite a bang. So,
I'm so honored to hear that, and John is thrilled that I know, because I get chills going all through me, and he's just like really, really happy, because he feels that what he's saying very quickly from Johnny Lennon out there. First of all, I want to say to Nicole and Cindy, God and Mother bless you now and always. All the archangels and saints are dancing and happy, and we have come full circle, because many years ago when Lena first met you, she was in such a state of disarray and chaos, and you've truly brought peace and love into our lives, and for that we shall always be grateful. Bless you.
Well, thank you so much, and
awesome.
Thank you for making our show phenomenally interesting. And again, what is my message into 2017? Please be tolerant, and if you don't get it, or if someone's into something you don't get, that doesn't mean they're crazy. That doesn't mean you can't love them, enjoy them, and maybe just learn something from them too. So
thank you so much.
And thanks for sharing with us, and I'm so glad you're my Facebook friend. So good night, everybody. Happy New Year, Nicole. I love you. And
I love you, Cindy.
I look forward to speaking to you next year.
We love you, too.
Bye.
And all the best. Bye.
Bye.